Well, good morning to you all, and a very warm welcome to our Zoom worship this morning on this Father's Day. I'm going to start by sharing with you a few words from a hymn, and I'd like you to guess what hymn it is. It will be very familiar. The winds and waves obey him, by him the birds are fed. Do you recognize that? Of course, it's from the third, but I can see June singing away there. And it is from We Plough the Fields and Scatter. And I learned yesterday the original version had 17 verses. So, and I know it's one of those hymns that some people love and some people are not so keen on. But this morning, as we come together on this Father's Day, we're going to be thinking about our Jesus' relationship with his heavenly Father and what that meant for him, and also about the winds and the waves as we place ourselves on the Sea of Galilee in the boat. But first, we are going to start with an opening hymn, which is going to be Lead Us, Heavenly Father, Lead Us. Lord, speak to us.
So that we hear your word.
Move among us.
So that we see your glory.
Receive our prayers.
So that we learn to trust you. Amen.
What God has prepared for those who love him, he has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything. Therefore, let us, in penitence, open our hearts to the Lord, who has prepared good things for those who love him. We confess to you our selfishness and lack of love. Fill us with your Spirit. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
We confess to you our fear and failure in sharing our faith. Fill us with your Spirit. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
We confess to you our stubbornness and lack of trust. Fill us with your Spirit. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May the God of love bring us back to himself, forgive us our sins, and assure us of his eternal love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We are now going to sing again. Our next song is How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
His treasure. How great the pain of Syria was. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished.
Della will now read to us our God's word.
Reading is taken from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Jesus calms the storm. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, Let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A fierce squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that through your words, we may draw closer to you and learn more about ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. I use a daily devotion guide called The Upper Room. Some of you may be familiar with it. In it, for one day quite recently, there was a passage with an entry written by a man whose thoughts for the day were, "No clouds are so dark that God cannot see through them." And it made me, I was thinking about this morning's Bible reading, and it took me into that boat with Jesus and the disciples on the lake. And really, I suppose, it brought to mind one word, that word being trust. So that's what I should like us to explore together this morning. We find Jesus asking his disciples why they've not trusted God in the crisis in which they find themselves. So I wonder, I don't know about you, do you like being out of control? Several years ago, I found myself on a ferry in the English Channel late at night in a force 10 gale, which meant that we couldn't come into port. It remains for me a scary experience that I don't wish to repeat. And my family will tell you that subsequently, I have any kind of reluctance to step on any kind of boat at all, whether that be one of those little ones in the boating lake at Wells that you could travel on, or whether that be going out onto the sea, or, you know, Colin has even suggested a cruise. Well, there's no way I could cope with anything like that. I like to keep my feet firmly on the ground. So I can easily identify with the fear that the disciples displayed when the storm arose whilst they were out on the boat. And I suppose I likened it rather to like standing on one leg without wobbling or falling over or reaching out to regain one's balance. And sorry, Janet, after your experience yesterday, I'm talking about sort of losing our balance or our feet. But it's just sort of that experience that sort of I'd like you to sort of to gather in your mind as we think about and place ourselves in the boat with the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. Now, we have had the pleasure of going to Galilee and going out. Actually, this was one experience, I suppose I have to regress a bit, because we did go out on a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and it was very calm on that day, and the water almost looked velvet-like. It was hard to describe. But we read in our Bibles and in other places that the Sea of Galilee could be prone to violent storms because of its situation, because of the mountains around it, the basin the sort of sea sits in, which is rather, I suppose, more like a big lake rather than a sea. and the cool air from the Mediterranean is drawn down. And so this can affect and change weather conditions quite dramatically. So as I said, if we put ourselves in the boat with the disciples, how would we have been feeling? What would we have been thinking? And how come that Jesus had laid down and gone to sleep and the rest of them were all wide awake? I think there's something important here in our understanding of Jesus just naturally going to sleep, resting in God. He must have been exhausted from his ministry, from all the places he had been for. We read about what he had been doing. And so it's quite natural that he would want to rest. What did he want his disciples to see about his actions, about him in rest, and about him awake? I think it goes back to that word about trust. And we have to remind ourselves that these men who were with Jesus, several of them were fishermen. They would have been used to being out on the water. They'd have been used to these extreme conditions. So why were they so afraid? I think in a sense it's because they were going to be put to the test to see if they would, where they would put their reliance, in whom they would trust. And how about you and me? When we find ourselves in a point of panic or despair, what do we tend to do? Do we put our trust first in God? Or do you, if you're sometimes like me, you try and think you can sort it out for yourself and you know all the answers, and no, I don't really want to bother God with this. But in the end, we are drawn back to God. And I like to have order in my life. I don't know about you, but it's not what this passage is about. Do we take time to look for God and see him in the situation that we are in? What is important here is, I think, it was Jesus who chose for them to go into the boat. He was the one who said, come with me, we're going on the lake. So he had led them by invitation to join him. And he said, we're going over to the other side of the lake. So he was taking them into this situation of helplessness so that he could show them firsthand where their trust should be placed. And sometimes we can find ourselves feeling vulnerable like they were and at risk. And particularly when somebody close to us is suffering or going through a difficult time. And if we're honest, we can question God's goodness and be angry with him. And I would like to suggest to you that this is not a bad thing. Well, from that place, in any given situation, we can begin to give to God the reason why we are angry. We can recognize how he can help us and bring us a peace that surpasses anything, and work out together with him how we're going to get through it. And I think this is what Jesus was doing. He didn't want his disciples to be angry, but he was leading them into a deeper trusting faith. And in their need, they turned to him. And this was the right thing to do. And we all know people who are in need, some of whom will not yet know Jesus. How can we help them to see what he can bring to their lives? A sense of peace and calm, which the world cannot give. It may not change the situation, but it can change the way that we respond to any given situation. And I think we have to recognize that Adam and Eve are presented to us as the first man and woman to be conscious of God and responsive to him. We know that they were tempted into sinning by the devil in the guise of a serpent, who places doubts into Eve's mind regarding God's intention for humanity. And there's the warning. When we fail to trust and rely on ourselves and not God, we're in danger of shutting God out and letting the devil in. And this can be applied to us as individuals and as a church. Were the disciples starting to get a fuller understanding of Jesus? Because our story today is all about him. Can we confidently witness to his power and authority, I wonder? What examples of scripture would we choose to show how this power or authority comes into action? If we think of Noah and the great flood, Moses leading the people through the Red Sea, or Jonah in the whale, desperately trying to go in the opposite direction to the way that God had chosen for him to go to save the people of Nineveh. And what about the wind? We think about waves and wind. We've recently celebrated Pentecost. Are we open to the wind of the Holy Spirit to blow away any cobwebs that cling or linger as we carry on in lockdown and embrace where God wants us to be and in what direction he wants to take us? Throughout Mark, Jesus is reminding us, throughout the gospel, Mark is reminding us who Jesus really is. He is the power and the authority of God. He does his Father's work. He is the Son of God, God's presence. But then Mark told us that in the opening verse, in the beginning of the gospel, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Some of you may be familiar with David Pitcher's and his book entitled Come, Holy Spirit. He defines the gift of faith as a supernatural surge of confidence from the Spirit of God, which arises within a person faced with a specific situation or need, whereby that person receives a certainty and assurance that God is about to act through a word or action. I think Hebrews 11, verse 1, is a much simpler translation. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So if we take this verse and apply it to everyday situations, whether that be at home, work, or here within the church family, can we see how our faith can help another person to understand who Jesus is? Can we recognize that power that the disciples witnessed in the boat with Jesus when he just simply stood up and said, "Quiet, be still," to the wind and the waves? Why were they so afraid? We read that they were terrified. And they said, "Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him." It's important that we know the answer to that question. Who is this? Do we recognize the authority and power that Jesus has, that he wants to share, that he gave the authority and the power to his disciples to carry on his work? And so I wonder, if you were asked to describe faith in one word, which word would you choose? I'm going to offer you some. Now, we play this game, even with my family who've grown up. You know, if you go on a car journey or something, where you we go through lists, you know, where you start at A and you go through to Z. You're either naming animals or birds or places or. And so my words for faith come to you in alphabetical form. Don't worry, I've not got 26 for you because that would be too many. Faith in a word, belief, confidence, conviction, dependable, expectation, hope, love, obedience, optimism, reliance, and trust. Maybe one of those words describes your faith and your belief. Trust, as I said earlier, was an important message for our passage today. Assureness or assurance, a certainty of our belief. Trust is also the state of being responsible for someone or something. Jesus wanted the disciples to understand how important it was for them to trust him completely. Alongside, I think, to recognize where they needed to grow in their relationship to continue the work they were being prepared for before Jesus returned to his Heavenly Father's side in heaven. So how can we use the Word of God to help us to grow as his disciples and deepen our relationship with Jesus? Last week, we were thinking about the mustard seed, a verse of scripture that mentions the mustard seed we find in Matthew 17, verse 20. It says this, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. In our daily morning prayer, we've been reading through the book of Job. We read how God spoke to Job out of the storm, Job's storm being his suffering and protest. God showed him the vastness of creation and reminded him of his power and authority, of heaven and earth, the weather, etc. Remember the thought for the day that I started with. No clouds are so dark that God cannot see through them. I should like to conclude with a prayer, and I invite you to place yourselves in God's hands as we pray. Let us pray. The cares of our hearts we entrust to you, O God. The needs of your church we entrust to you, O God. The wounds of the world we entrust to you, O God. The hopes we carry we entrust to you, O God. The deep desire for peace we entrust to you, O God. Amen. We shall now sing, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord.
For the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Come bow before him now with reverence and fear. In him no sin is found. We stand on holy ground. Be still for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. He burns with holy fire, with splendor he is crowned. How awesome is the sight, our radiant King of light. Be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. For the power of the Lord is moving in this place. He comes to cleanse and heal, to minister His grace. No work too hard for Him, in faith receive from Him. Is moving in this place. Is moving in this place. Be still.
We join together in declaring our faith.
Though he was divine, he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing. Taking the form of a slave, he was born in human likeness. He humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has raised him on high and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every voice proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Stephen will now lead us in our prayers this morning.
Let us pray to the Father, both church and the world, and thank him for his goodness. Heavenly Father, on this Father's Day, we thank you for Heavenly Fathers who are there to be with us and guide us through the bad and good times. We pray, Lord, that you will be with those who find this day difficult because they have no longer have a Father to celebrate with. Lord, in your mercy,
hear your children's prayer.
Heavenly Father, we pray for Magic Armed Forces who are still serving in Gaza, Iraq, Israel, Syria, Turkey, and other war-torn areas. Strengthen and keep them safe, Lord, as they do their duties. We pray that agreement can be reached from these places to end the fighting, so further loss of life is avoided and the troops can return home. We thank you, Lord, the nurses and doctors in the field hospitals who work to care for those who have been badly injured. Give them the strength, Lord, to carry on. Also pray that you bless and support the families, Lord, whilst their loved ones are away, serving their country. We thank you, Lord, for the soldiers' charities who work to support those who are currently serving, or ex-servicemen and women who are still suffering due to their war injuries and need some more help. Bless and guard our Queen, who is to her own authority, and direct this every nation in the way of justice and of peace, that men will honor one another and seek the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear your children's prayer.
We raise at you, Lord, people in our countries who are still suffering due to natural disasters. Now out the media spotlight. We thank you, Lord, for the aid charities who work to help these people in their time of need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear your children's prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank all those who work long hours in our hospitals. Give them a strength, Lord, to carry on as they care for us all. Also keep the emergency services safe, Lord, as they do their work off in dangerous and difficult conditions to rescue us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear your children's prayer.
We thank you, Lord, that vaccination program is now available for those 18 and over. We thank for all those who are working in the vaccine centre, able this to happen. Guide them, Lord, as they do this valuable work. Lord, in your mercy,
hear your children's prayer.
Heavenly Father, pray for Mark, Sally, Andrea, and the others who prepare and lead the services in our churches and on Zoom. Bless them, Lord, and be with them as they plan for the future. Lord, in your mercy,
hear your children's prayer.
We thank you, Lord, for the shopkeepers in our villages who are always there to provide what we need. Be with them, Lord. We thank for all those in our villages who continue to help others during COVID-19. Lord, in your mercy,
hear your children's prayer.
We pray for all those who are less fortunate than ourselves, who do not know where their next meal is coming from and where they're going to lay their head in the warm time. We thank you, Lord, for the food bank as it works to support these people in their time of need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear your children's prayer.
We rise up, you Lord, those are waiting for a test result of x-rays and scans. We with them, and we pray they will hear soon and planned operation will go ahead. We now pause to rise up to the Lord any on our hearts who need our prayers this morning. Be with them all, Lord, at this time. We thank all those who work, care for others at home without much recognition. Rejoicing in the fellowship of all your saints, we commend ourselves, all Christian people, to your unfailing love. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The Collect Prayer for today, the third Sunday of the Trinity. Almighty God, you have broken the tyranny of sin and have sent the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, whereby we call you Father. Give us grace to dedicate our freedom to your service, that we and all creation may be brought to the glorious liberty of the children of God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bring all our prayers together by saying the prayer that Jesus taught us in whichever version is closest to your hearts. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. There had to be only one hymn to conclude our worship with this morning, so we shall now sing Eternal Father, Strong to Save.
In darkness and in light, in trouble and in joy, help us, Heavenly Father, to trust your love, to serve your purpose, and to praise your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, establish, strengthen, and settle us in the faith. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. May you all have a blessed week. And I probably should have mentioned that this coming Wednesday is the consecration of the new Bishop of Lynn, the Venerable Dr. Jane Steen. So please hold her and her husband Pip in your prayers as this happens at the cathedral, as I said, on Wednesday. Are we having 5 minutes and then coming back for coffee? So we'll close now and hope to see you back here in 5 minutes' time, once you've had time to grab a coffee or tea or some other drink. Thank you. And thank you to Leroy, to Stephen, to Della, and to Colin.